The book of Hebrews, please. And chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and let's read together at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. I can't see those clocks, so I trust mine is in order. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to be well pleasing unto Him. For he that cometh to God, I take it that's as a worshiper, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now let's read four different sections from this, and we're going to do it in the order I'm going to speak about them if I have time. So we'll look at verse 8. It has to do with Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, and I'm just going to change the order of this. I think it's in keeping with the actual sense of it. When he was called, obeyed. When he was called, obeyed to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now the next little section I want you to look at is concerning Moses, and you'll come down please to verse 24. Chapter 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, how resolute, how singular an act this was. When you think of where he was and what he was and who he was and what he had behind him, and what he had around him, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect. He looked unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, another section, we'll go back to verse 7, please. Verse 7 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that is, with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. One last one, please, concerning Joshua, down to verse 30 of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down after they were compassed 7 days. Trust that God will bless what we've read from His precious Word. I was thinking in terms of Abraham and his response of faith, that there was no time for hesitation. When he was called, he obeyed. Then he comes to the story of Moses. And you think of all that he left behind and all the surroundings that were there. There was no time for doubts. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And he comes to the story of Noah. To me, I see in this at least, there's no time for idols. Turns his back on what might have naturally been his day by day on a regular ongoing basis, and he puts his all into the ark. There was no time for idols. When he comes down to Joshua, there's no time for fears. God said, go up against the city. And up they went, compassing it 7 days in spite of the walls of Jericho and the gates that were straightly shut up, and the walls of Jericho fell down. There was no time for fears. Without faith, we read, it is impossible to please God. Probably there's some children here and you feel much the same as the little guy who was visiting with his family. They were a missionary family visiting in a home. And the lady who was part of that home told the story how that they were called into dinner. And the children coming in from dinner were told by their missionary mother to go and wash their hands. And this lady in the house just happened to be close enough to hear the boy mutter. As he went to the washroom, he said, germs and God. God and germs. It's all I ever hear about. And I've never seen either one of them. And you know, sometimes you and I, we don't recognize the dangers that are there. And there are dangers. And sometimes we don't realize the realities that are there. We can't see God. But we know He's there. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. When you look at the story of an Abraham, you can see in this wonderful book of Genesis, which we're pointed back to here from the book of Hebrews, that this was a man who left all for God. The courage of a man who heard a word from God, and when he was called, he obeyed. I wonder how much our life, your life and mine, really shows that when God speaks, we move. Does it? Does your life show? Does it indicate? Does it emulate? Does it give example to others? That if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. When God speaks, we move. He left all for God. But you know, you can see that this is a man who rested all with God. Why, there you think of the story when Lot and he must part, and he says, you make the choice, Lot. If you choose the right, I'll take the left. If you choose the left, I'll take the right. He left it all with God. And you know, when you come down just a few verses after this choice is made, and Lot makes his choice based upon what he sees. Dear Christian, don't make your choices based on what you see. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But just a few verses after Lot makes his choice, God says, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Oh, how wonderful to find a man like this. A man who could rest it all with God. Who could leave all the details in capable hands. You find that he finds his all in his God. There wasn't much out there in that wilderness he was in. And even though he was in that promised land, he was dwelling in tents with an altar. Not much that was visible or noticeable, but he found his all in God, and the altars in a man's life show what he thought of his God. But then you'll find in chapter 22 words that we're all familiar with. There was a man named Abraham who yielded his all to God. All his hopes were on that altar. He yielded it all to God. But oh, what a contrast Abraham stands in comparison, let's say, with the Pharisees of the New Testament. When you look at those Pharisees, you can see why they were quite content to live by their rules. And oh yes, there was the washing of hands. We've been hearing just a little bit about their care and such things. And oh, they were very concerned. The Lord Jesus says, you'll strain at a gnat and you'll swallow a camel. All the details, all the dotted I's, all the crossed T's, they were content to live by rules. I just want to ask you a question. In view of an Abraham, just to compare him for a moment with the Pharisees, do we live by faith? Or do we live by rules? It's easier to live by rules. You know, you got these guidelines and you just stay between them and you're fine. There's a certain measure of satisfaction that as long as I stay between those guidelines, why, I'm all right. Do we live by faith? Are we willing to step up and lay hold on God? Or do we live by rules? I want you to think about Moses. No time for doubts. Oh, time for doubts. You notice when it says of Moses in verse 24 of chapter 11, it says that by faith Moses, when he was grown up, there was a maturing process that had gone on. There was understanding that had taken place. There was a grasp of truths that were bigger than Egypt. When he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was a choice. A clear choice. There was a definite choice. Moses chose to forsake Egypt. He chose to forsake his security. He chose to forsake its status. You know, there's an awful lot of us would like a name in this world. We'd like to be recognized and identified as being something here. We'd like our titles. We'd like our communities. Moses turned his back on it all. You say, why? By faith. He saw that there was something beyond it all. He recognized he had a call that was greater than the call of this world to fame and to fortune. He turned his back upon its status. He turned his back upon its security. He turned his back upon its shelter. Not fearing the wrath of the king, he went out. No time for doubts. I wonder if we made our choice clear. You know, when it came to the choice of Lot, I'll just refer to him a moment. He was calculating in his choice. I'm certain that he sat down and he did some consideration. He thought it through. And as he looked, and he could see what in his mind were advantages, he so quickly forgot the future consequences of the choice that he made. But Moses put his choice in God's hands. And when he stepped out not fearing the wrath of the king when he forsook Egypt and all that it meant, when he turned his back and all his treasures. He made an accounting of a world that was greater by far than all the splendors of an Egypt. I love that hymn. Don't sing it much. Let others boast of heaps of gold. Christ for me. His riches never can be told. Christ for me. Have you made your choice? Here's a question for you. Are our choices made by faith or by sight? Are we putting our hand and our hopes in God's? Are we making the very best decisions we can using human intelligence? Take thought for future consequence. And put all you've got into what's for God. No time for doubts. I want you to think again of a Noah. Verse 7 tells us much of the story. Amazing how much God puts into one little verse of Scripture. Here there's no time for idols. Why, Noah's values were clear, weren't they? I don't know what it cost him when it came to building that ark. I know he put his whole life into it. Years and years and years. Likely he put everything else he had into it. He sold out to build an ark. Oh, that our lives had such purpose and focus. You ever feel like you're just kind of going along without any focus? And then we drift from one conference to another. We go from one day to the next. We go from one activity to another activity. One thing to another thing. Do you ever feel like you haven't really got your hand gripped around something solid? No time for idols. He trusted God completely. Just think of this. He was warned of God. God spoke to him and he said, then that's it. God spoke and he said, that's enough for me. God revealed truth to him and he said, that's all I need. He trusted God completely. He treated God's word reverently. It meant everything to him. If God said it, he knew it must be true. As absurd as it might seem in the eyes and minds of the many around him, to him it was everything. He treated God's word reverently. How do you treat God's word? When God speaks in this book. I remember when I was simple enough. Yeah, I was. I was simple enough to believe every promise in this book was for me. Life was sweet. And I believed that when God rebuked me, he meant every word he said thereto. And we've become so cultured. And calloused. And maybe even cold of heart. And now God can speak. It hardly even causes us to bend our ear. He treated what God said reverently. and he triumphed over ridicule and unbelief. You just stop and think for a moment. You know, when we look back on this man, we think he's some kind of a superman. He was a real man. He was a family man. He had to deal with the same things that you and I do, the shame that washes across our face when we're mocked. That makes our ears turn red. That makes us concerned because we just want that appreciation and recognition by man. He triumphed over it. Said, come what may, I'm on God's side. Come whatever might come, this is good enough for me. And he testified in an unrepentant world of men. Oh, how dark was the day. God was bringing a flood upon the ungodly. And brethren, we may be just moments away from when the Lord Jesus will come and take us away from this world. And I want to tell you, God's mind about this world is going to be clearly known then, when God begins to deal in judgment with an unrepentant world. And this man faithfully testifies to that world. He just took God at his word. You've probably heard the story about Napoleon. And one day while he was looking at a piece of paper, he dropped the reins of his horse that was high-spirited, and it began to get away from him. Young corporal of the grenadiers, he ran forward and he grabbed a hold of the bridle and he steadied the horse. And Napoleon, looking at that young corporal, he said, thank you, Captain. Now just listen to this man. Of what company, sir? My guards, said Napoleon. Thank you. He left behind all he was in and he went to the guards. He ripped off the corporal's stripes as he went and he stood amongst them and they said, what are you doing here? I'm captain of the guard. By whose order? The emperor's. You know, brethren and sisters, it's time we recognize that we have a calling that's far above any other calling, and the voice that speaks to us is the highest authority of all. Whose voice are we listening to? Notice this man, Noah. He was warned and he knew that God meant business. You and I have been instructed and taught in the Scriptures, time is not ours forever. This world is hastening to judgment. It's going to feel the awful reality of God's dealings with their sin. And we know it. And what are we doing about it? He was moved with a godly fear. What moves us? What is it that stimulates and controls and drives us? He was moved with a godly fear. You know, the world recognizes that when they see it, they don't know what it is. But they recognize it, all right. As the world sees us, stimulated and moved with a godly fear. And he worked with a will to see his family saved. He was building an ark. He knew his business and he went about it. He had instructions from heaven how to do it. You and I have been given all the instructions we need. And sometimes we've forgotten. In our homes, some of you as young families, could I encourage you? And I'm not trying to be negative. Forget about trying to get your kids into every activity that they can get into. And make sure they get in the ark. That's our business. Not only that, you see this man who condemned unbelievers by manifesting his wisdom and by his actions. There was no time for idols in this man's life. I want to ask you a question. Are we motivated by faith? Or are we motivated by materialism? By the markets? What moves you? Are we living by faith or by rules? Are our choices made by faith or by sight? Are we motivated by faith, that link to God, or by materialism? I want you to think about Joshua for a moment. There's a battle to be fought. There's no time for fears. My Bible says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And princes may be the best of men, but they're only men. Don't get your counsel from others. Don't ever think that just because we get together the finest business minds amongst us that we've got the answers to assembly problems. We need God. We need heaven's wisdom. We need divine truth. Here's this man, and he believes that if he marches forward with God, the walls will come down. What an obstacle Jericho was, with its wide walls and its fortress-like character. The gates straightly shut up. The hearing goes forth with this. March around the city and return to your camp. And for 6 days they did it. And nothing changed. But he had the whole revelation of God about it, and he followed it to the limit. And when there came that time when they went around the city as God had instructed on the seventh day, and when those ram horns sounded, and when the people together gave a great shout, those walls came down, and the victory was won. You know, we face an enemy. We face fortresses of the wicked one. We face dangers that we are incapable in ourselves of meeting or conquering. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. A group of trapeze artists were called the Flying Rodellas. And I don't know if you know the system, but there's a lot of synchronization required. You know, when that fellow who's the flyer lets go, he's out there in space. And it all depends on the catcher. And if the catcher doesn't do his job, the flyer's history. Do you know that flyer has to be very wise? His responsibility is to let go. His responsibility as the flyer is not to catch the catcher. His responsibility is to wait until the catcher's fit. Faithful hands, reliable hands, take hold of him. I know sometimes when it comes to faith, you and I think that we're just like the flyer and we hate to let go. We hate to distrust. But just stop for a moment and think about who it is we're trusting. We don't read in our Bibles, God is faithful. In vain. We don't read in the scriptures that he will not deny himself. He remains, he abides faithful. We can trust him. Are we willing to let go and to let God? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. My last question, Are we fighting the good fight of faith? Or are we just relying on man? Without faith, it is impossible. It cannot be done. It's impossible to please God.